prepared for the onslaught of resistance we will have when we try to overcome the world, especially if we try that in our own strength. He is the ruler of this world. He is the prince of this world. He is powerful. But God, he has this little area that he does. He has this authority, if you would. But God is the ultimate, all-encompassing authority. And he takes the very thing that Satan desired for Peter to fail that day. Satan desired for, Satan himself, I'm sure, we're not told all the details of every story, was there throwing doubts at Peter. Look at the waves, look at the wind. And when Peter succumbed to that, Satan won. No, he didn't. He didn't. God took what was meant for evil and he used it for good. He turned it around on his head upside down. So even as we talk about, it's good to keep in the back of our mind, as we talk about spiritual attack and the battle, the intensity of it is to recognize when we are in the battle, and even when we feel like we have failed, we have lost, is to remember God, when we trust him, he will use. Now, Peter needed to trust God with this. He needed to believe him and not just be throw a pity party. Oh, I failed, I'm no good, I'm not going to amount to anything because I sunk in the water and everybody saw it. I'm never going to be able to. No, he trusted God, and God used that failure to strengthen him. The enemy was involved in that failure, as I'm reading into that a bit. But he, so as we go through this, you think of times of failure in your life, when we talk about how there's spiritual battle, because failure is real, and we can lose the battle. And we are to trust God today, and we can have victory. But yet, when we look back on our lives, and we think of the times we failed, it's so important to recognize that God will use, when we trust him, he will use those things for good. And one of the main ways he's used that in my life is humility. I must have really, it's hard to see it in yourself, isn't it, pride? But I must have been a person that was really, really inclined to pride. Because I've had a lot of failure. Just exactly what I needed. Exactly what I needed when I needed it. Now, I can trust God with it. And I can reap the benefit of what he intended. So keep that in mind as we talk about spiritual warfare. So we're already well into this. And a key component that we've looked at is that when we have this spiritual armor, this gear, equipment that we've been given to fight with. And what I see all through the Bible, and I see certain places in the Bible where people are more inclined to take something out of context and to use it for their own personal benefit rather than for the cause and the purpose of Christ in the world. And this place in the Bible is one that is particularly prone to that. Is it this gear that we've been given, this armor, is not just for our own spiritual self-defense program. This is, just like a soldier that takes on his gear, his armor, there's a cause and there's a purpose, there's a direction to it. And he intends us to use it for his purpose and his cause. So, here's your gear. You know, if we were to go this far, and as you head out the door, if we were to take this to the extreme, and we were to have, as you walk out, we were to have a sword for everybody, and a sheath, and a breastplate, and a shield, so that you could pick this stuff up and take it home with you. And you might say, wow, this is really some cool stuff that I've been given to take home with me, to put on the shelf, to admire, to remind me. Well, you are, and you have been given this gear, but it has a purpose. And we get some hint of that in our pre-battle speech. You see, we're handed all this gear for the battle. You can be sure we've been prepared And Paul went through all this first part of Ephesians. It's like, this is, you know, in every single I'm sure in real wars, just in wars on movies, there's always, at some point, you have this pre-battle speech of the pumping up the troops to get ready to do what they're called to do. And the first part of Ephesians is that. It's this pre-battle speech that first he's saying, you have been delivered. Don't get caught up in this thing where your sin's weighing you down. You have been given grace. You've been given grace. And he goes all in detail about this grace and what the character of God is. And we're to look at that and be intent on that. And he talks about we've been given this power, resurrection power, to do what we're called to do. And then next he goes into this thing of this is how it works. You put off the old. You have this old nature, this flesh, but you can put that off and put on the new. Put on Christ, where your character will be different. You have power to do what you're called to do. Then he goes into the family. He talks about the church. How is the church supposed to work? And how's the family supposed to work? And how do you operate on your job? What's your approach to your employer, to your employees, to your job, your school? And then he gives us the gear. So we are to use this equipment we've been given in all these spheres. And so we'll get into that a little bit today and a little bit in the future. So now you're headed out the door to enter the fray, and you've received your purpose, right? You've received your purpose, haven't you? You've been given your purpose. Do you have any inclination as to what that is? To go into all the world and make disciples? How many times have I preached that to you? You've been given your purpose in the world, and you've been given your place. Here's your gear. Put it on. You've been called. You've been called. So you may say, wait a minute. I'm barely dealing with life. And you want me to put on all this gear like a soldier? This whole call's purpose, and go out into battle. I'm barely surviving. Well, if you need to go home and straighten some things out, I'm not judging you. If you need to go home and get some things straight, get some things in order, then do that with this in mind. And we're going to call you to do that this morning, to prepare your life, to wear the gear, to go out and to use it. But I can tell you what happens. This is what happens. You haven't truly joined the battle yet. And when you start to get things in order, the attack will intensify. You know, I have this picture in my mind. You know, I get these silly little pictures in my mind, you know. And so I picture this guy over here. He's a Christian. And he's just doing kind of whatever he wants to do, really. He goes to church and he kind of pretends to follow Jesus, but really, he hasn't forsaken all. It really is his conscience. So he's just going about his life, doing what he wants to do, really. And there's this guy over here that has his armor on. He's making a difference in the world. He's in the fray. He's fighting. And here he comes. Five demons are sent over here. There's an organization. We talked about that. You know, we've already, if you haven't been here, you can go back and listen. We're not making this stuff up either. There is a spiritual realm, and the enemy's organized, and he has troops. And so let's say he's sending, there's this little group over here. They have their armor on. They're fighting. And so they better send some forces over here to take care of this group that's making a difference. And they come flying by, and there's this guy over here just doing whatever he wants to do. You know, it's not that the enemy doesn't care about that guy. As they fly by, I can just see him doing just a little sidekick. Bam! Take it just for the fun of it and laugh. He wasn't any trouble. He had no shield. He had no breastplate. He had no sword. It would just fly by and laugh at him as you go by and knock him down. He's down there wallowing in it for the next 3 weeks. They're going to take care of real business, but that guy was just nothing. But they did slap him on the way by just for the heck of it, because he's an image bearer, because he is a believer. But they're not really his target. But still, he gets the brunt of it. It was easy. Now they're going to go and attack the ones that are making it. But they're ready. They have their armor on, and they're not alone. They're ready. I want us to be ready. I want us to take care of business that we need to take care of, to be ready. And that's part of our purpose this morning. Take care of business, to be ready, to put our armor on. So, if you need to run home with your armor, take care of things before you go out into the fray, then go ahead, do that. Do that. We need you to do that. Let's look at... Oh, I was going somewhere with that. I forgot. So you go home and you take care of things. Let's say you get your home in order. You get your house in order. You know what happens when you get your house in order? You say you get your finances in order. Let's say you learn how to manage your job where it's not overtaking your life a little better. Let's say you get your family where your relationships are peaceful. So what do you do? You know what the tendency to do is? Now the attack is a little more subtle. It's like, you've worked so hard, you finally have a little free time. You can kind of take some time here. Go do what you want to do. You've been wanting to pursue that thing. Go ahead. Do that. The war will wait. You see, so there's just a little warning there. When you follow through on what we talk about this morning, I believe your life could just really get straightened out and you could really have some extra resources. But there's a caution there. What you're going to want to do is use those resources on temporal, worldly, self-desire rather than the purposes of God. And you'll find yourself once again in the very same situation you were in before. Ephesians 6, 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, we're going to get into this in a minute. This stuff is so practical. We're going to talk about the shoes fitted for the shoes of gospel. And there's, you know, when Paul was looking at that Roman soldier and he saw, these are like the first cleats. These soldiers had on cleats. Maybe some of you have. You ever tried to play football or soccer without cleats? You know, one time, this is the pre-sermon, I can tell a story, right? So, one time back at Brunswick Junior College, they had this huge grass field. It was right there, right. There was all these neighborhoods right there, and all these guys would come out on Sunday afternoon and play football. And there were a lot of good athletes out there. And there would be 24 guys out there. We'd talk on 12-man teams playing tackle football. Everybody out there, you know, and they wore Converse back then. You know, that was the same things you guys wear now. They had to wear those Converse, wore basketball shoes. So everybody's out there. So I'm out there running one day, and these guys are playing. They said, hey, come play with us. We need another guy. So I came over to play, but I thought, got my football cleats in the car. I went, slipped my cleats on. I come out there. Nobody else has cleats on. First kickoff, bam. They couldn't stop me. They're slipping all around. I can cut. I can move. I'm gone. The whole game, I must have scored 6 or 7 touchdowns. Put that guy in the backfield. He can. And then we get through with the game. Some guy walks over. Man, you are fat. You can go. I go. He goes, oh! You cheated. They're football cleats. You can wear them. What? You have on the right gear. It makes a difference, you know? It really makes a difference. You can hold your ground when you have the right gear on. And the first piece of gear that he gets into, you see it there? What's the first piece of gear? You guys can look at it. Belt of truth. Thank you. You guys can read just as well as I can. Belt of truth. Most of you better. You ever wondered about this? There's the belt of truth. What in the, what is that? You know, I thought, why do you have the belt of truth when you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? You've got the sword, which is like the Bible. And I think about that as like, well, okay, I'm hit with this temptation. There's some temptation of the flesh that every single one of us, whatever your weakness is, the enemy knows it, and he hits you with that thing, and you want to give in, and you're not even thinking about this as temptation. It's just something you just want to do. You're just kind of driven to do it. Whatever, it's to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, look at the wrong thing, whatever, think the wrong thing. And then this verse comes to your mind, Romans 6:11. You go, oh, I reckon it to be true. I count on it to be true. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. I believe it no matter what I feel. I do not have to succumb to that. You have your sword out. You have your sword out. You are fighting. You're fighting. Now, it's not just, we already looked at this, but just as a reminder, it's not just about you and the enemy. Because see, if you go down, you get hit, you give in, you go down and knocks you to your knees, there's somebody right here. Remember the guy on point? There's a guy on the wing, and you're right here. You go down, there's nobody watching that space. There's nobody guarding. There's nobody protecting. This guy here is now open to the attacks of the enemy. You've gone down. So that's just a reminder. This is, again, it's not just about you. Your impact is so much more than you recognize. So that was, you pulled out your sword. But you see, there's something even more foundational. And I just love the way the Bible is almost always organized in progressional revelation. We start with these basic things and we build. So it's like this first thing we need to get a hold of is the belt of truth. You know, these guys, they had these like tunics. Why they wore those, I don't know. But they wore these tunic things, you know, and so they could get in the way. You know, there's the, you know, the verse from Peter, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And what that means is, gather up those loose ends. You're going to run a race. You don't want all that in the way. You're going to be in a battle. You want to be able to move. So you get all those loose things. You tie them up. Now you can go. So this belt of truth, what is this? Did I lose my track again, man? So I want us to understand this a little bit. This belt of truth, this first piece of gear that we put on. Remember, we're handing out this gear at the door. In reality, you have it. But we're handing out this gear as you leave because you're going into the battle. There is a battle. You're going into the battle. So you need to be prepared for it. So I'll ask you some questions. Is that okay? You don't have to answer out loud. Or you could raise your hand if you'd like. The belt of truth. Do you believe the Bible is God's Word? You're going to see there's a difference here between using God's Word, like I just talked about. I just used it as an example. I pulled out the sword and I used that as a weapon. Now, there's something more foundational than that. Do you believe the Bible is God's Word? You guys believe that? I think most people in here already believe that. So we could, you know, if you didn't, we could go off on this sidetrack and we could, in a sense, we could give you plenty of evidence and to show you how this, but I don't have to do that this morning. You're there. Okay. Do you believe the Bible is true in all that it says? And everything that it says, not just that it's God's Word, but everything that it says is true. I think most of you would probably, I see you nodding, you're in agreement with me. Go ahead. Are you willing to submit all your thoughts and opinions on every subject to what it says? All of your thoughts and opinions. I tricked you, didn't I? I'm going to trick you some more before we're done. I tricked you. You believe it. It is God's Word. Of course it is. Now, are you willing to submit this? You see where we're going. Part of putting on the belt of truth. Why bother? You know, you see this belt, it ties up all the loose ends. Now, when that temptation came at me, I'm grabbing for my sword. If I don't have the belt of truth on, I'm going to get tangled up. It's not going to work. Or the enemy is attacking more than I can sustain or more than my brother can sustain, so I'm going to throw up my shield. When I start to throw up my shield, it's tangled up in all this stuff and I can't get it up. So we have to have the belt of truth on. Are you willing to submit thoughts and opinions on every subject to what it says? Are you willing to do what the Bible says? Are you willing to do what the Bible says even if you don't want to? You see what the answer has to be if you really are going to have the belt of truth buckled on. Satan attacks the on all these levels, doesn't he? You see, from the very beginning, do you see how Satan works? He attacked the truth. Did God really say that? You know, he says that to me. And then, was it really true? You see, he attacks. So every single level here, the enemy. So I go back to that picture of Satan, because in your life, when you kind of have a doubt about, or you're going to, when I say about submitting to everything, you see where that doubt originates. Okay, you could say, make the argument, originates in your flesh, and that is true. But you see, Satan uses the flesh. So this, even when you don't feel like it, what I'm saying is, you don't feel like there's a spiritual war going on. Now, we've talked about the bigger scale. When you look out over this city at night, and you see the lights of the city, and it's beautiful. Now, if we could peel back and we could see the spiritual realm, it would probably scare us to death to see that there are demons and there are spiritual foes and of another realm, and it's real, and they're organized. But right now, I'm dealing on a personal level of Satan is attacking every single step that I listed there. He doesn't want you to put on the first piece of equipment. Why does he care if you have on the equipment? Well, that is really a silly question. He cares because you are the enemy. We are, in that sense, the spiritual army of God, taking on the purpose and the cause of Christ into the world. We are bringing a message of deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from Satan, sin, and death. We are rescuing people out of the clutches of his hands. So we are the enemy. So of course he cares if you have on the belt of truth. So if he can attack you at any level here, it doesn't really matter. So you know what? I don't think Satan's going to attack most of you guys at this level. Do you believe the Bible is God's word? Some of you, if you're just starting out, yeah, he does attack there. He does. But most of us have progressed on this, and that's not where he's focusing his attention and his attacks. It's a little more advanced than that. He'll stop you from putting on the belt of truth, from obeying God's word, from following through with what you already know, from not taking on God. You've been given a mission. We talk about this. I talk about it probably every single week. You've been given a mission. For you to say no to that mission and yes to your own mission, you do not have on the belt of truth. Because you're not obeying the truth. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you love me, you will obey me. If you do not have on the belt of truth if you are not obeying. And it's not just talking about blatant disobedience. It's also on another level of just not obeying what he has said to do. So you're not ready. Satan, if you don't have on the belt of truth, all your rest of your gear is not effective. And you're one of those ones that when the demon's flying by, he can just give you a little sidekick and knock you to the ground and you wallow in it for weeks or months or whatever it is. Are you willing to submit and to do what the Bible says? We've already talked about the different spheres that God desires us to be submitted to him, and how he wants things done. He's talked about the church. What is the church supposed to do? That when I say what is the church supposed to do, that means what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do, and how are you supposed to do it? He cares about that. That is obedience. He has a purpose for you in your school. He has a purpose for you on your job. He has a purpose for you in the church. What about your family? You see, there's truth. There's obedience. In all of your relationships, he desires obedience. So when I said about if you need to go home and get things in order first. That's where I was going with this. There may be some things at home. You need to put on the belt of truth. You need to be obedient in your home. And this is, in looking at this, is why I said we need some more time with this. So I'm thinking that's where we may go next. Is what is God's way of doing things in the church and in the family and on our in our job? What's God's way? We don't have time to get into all that today. But let me just give you some things to think about, okay? Because Paul has gone through all these things already. Do you notice that in Ephesians? He's gone through the church of what our obedience is and how we're to do things in the church. You know, one of the things about the church that's been on my mind recently, you know, we've never been a big thing of doing programs here. Can I tell you why? You see, for us to have, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have any programs. We have to do that. But, okay, this is the example that comes to mind. Okay, we're going to have an evangelistic night. Okay, so let's pretend like we're going to have this event here tonight. We're going to bring a special speaker in. He is an expert at sharing the gospel. He is a professional at sharing the gospel. So I want all of you to bring your friends in here, and let's let this guy share the gospel with him. That's an evangelistic program. Nothing wrong with that. But you see what it ends up doing. It takes the responsibility from you. That's what we need to have gatherings. Of course, we need to have. But we talked about this morning a little bit. So we say, okay, listen, the church is not doing anything. And this is, I'm just going to have this gathering in my home. I'm going to invite the whole church. Everybody's going to come. So nobody else has to do anything in their home. We're going to just do all in my home. And then you don't even, it's kind of like, when the government oversteps its bounds, it takes responsibility and it ruins those people. So if the government oversteps its bounds and it says, okay, we're gonna feed the whole nation. Everybody should have food, so we're going to feed everybody. What would happen then? Everybody would stop working. You see, then they no longer do their responsibility. When the church oversteps its bounds, when the pastor oversteps his bounds, and if I was to do this, I would say, we're going to do everything at my house. I'm going to make disciples. You just bring your friends to me and I'll make disciples of them. I have ruined you. Let's have a program. No. What? We have restrained ourselves because the responsibility is yours. So, I have, in one sense, and I've talked to Ken and Carlton, and I've wanted so bad at times to take over. To just say, no, the church has got to do its work. And they have restrained me at times. And it's like, you're right. You're right. If I do it, I'm going to do what I have to do. But the church, you must do what you're called to do. You must open your homes, your hearts, your lives. You must share the gospel. If I share the gospel for you and you bring all your friends to me, it just perverts things. I've overstepped my bounds and I've taken responsibility that was yours. You know how you can do that to your children, right? You can love your children so much and with great good intent, and you cannot give them responsibility that they need. So this is some of the things we're going to take a look at next. Do you have on the belt? Are you being obedient? In your home? Are you training your children? If you have children at home, you should be reading the Bible with them. I don't know what to do. Well, I don't either, really, but let's just read the Bible. Are you sitting down with your husband and your wife? Or is your job overtaking your life? Are we being obedient in these different arenas? That is the belt of truth. That is the belt of truth. But first, are you willing to submit to all these things? Are you willing to submit your thoughts and opinions on every subject to what the Bible says? Not to what Steve says. You see what I'm saying here. I want to be careful not to overstep my bounds. I want to be careful not to do your job for you. Because you are called to do that. All these things are a part of putting on the belt of truth. It is you saying to God, I see your word. It says to make disciples. It says to share the gospel. I will do that. No matter the cost to me, I will do that. That is preparation. That's not actually doing it. That's preparation to putting on the belt of truth. This belt of truth is about obeying. It's not just about using your sword and using your weapon in the spiritual battle. It's about doing what God has called you to do in your home. Loving your wife, respecting your husband, discipling your children. It's about being faithful to your brothers and your sisters in the body. It's about reading. It's about responding. You say, well, that's legalism. Legalism is doing things to earn the favor of God. Legalism is doing things outside of the Bible that we add to the Bible. For us to say, do what the Bible says, that is not legalism. That's truth. Put on the belt of truth. Satan attacks all these things we just talked about. To gird up, to put on first over the tunic. That means respond to God. Does anything come to your mind as we study, as we read the Word? Does anything come to your mind? Or such as discipling your children, loving your husband, respecting your wife, being in the Word, needing your family. I've just described to you the organization of our forces. Do you see that? Satan has his organization. We better have ours. That means I better be sharing the Word and discipling my children. I better be praying with my wife. That's the organization that's putting on the belt of truth. I better be taking up the cause of Christ, the purposes of Christ in the world. You see, well, that's so advanced. That's not advanced. That's the belt of truth. It's the first thing I get on. I'm going to respond. I'm going to obey. Or I'm not ready for all the other gear. The shield of faith does me no good if I'm not doing what God has instructed me to do. Gird up your loins. It's a commitment to fight and to win, not making excuses, and it's to put away the hindrances to the fight, everything that impedes. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier, and that is all of you. We're soldiers. We have this armor. We have a purpose, a cause in the world. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. That doesn't mean we don't have any fun. That doesn't mean we don't have recreation. It means that we do away with the things that are hindering our obedience to what God has called us to. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. The King James says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The picture there is putting on the belt. That's what the picture is. You're tying the loose ends. You're tying up the loose ends. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. It's having truth. Truth. We are so resistant to truth in our culture. Truth is whatever I think it is. Truth is my opinion. Truth is how I feel. Truth, my truth is just as good as your truth. No. We have been indoctrinated to this. But truth is to look at things in light of God's Word. It's an honest assessment of your life. It's being truthful, honest, direct about where you stand and what's going on and what action needs to be taken, where you need to be obedient to be able to put on the belt of truth, to obey, to be able to be effective with the gear that has already been given you. Having this belt, this girdle, or sometimes called, makes every other piece of a gear of the gear that you're going to receive effective. That's what I like, the progressive nature of God's Word. So, we're spending a little bit of time on this first, because this is the first piece of gear that you have. Don't just drop this and go to the exciting stuff. You know, the shield and the sword and the cleats. We've got to get this first piece of gear on. It's about obedience. It's about responding to God, having His truth, responding personally to it. What do you think would happen in our church? Would there be any evidence if every one of us had on the belt of truth? Would there be any evidence if every single person responded with a whole heart to the call of God? Would we see any evidence of that in our church? Does God even care if we do that? If God cares about anything, this is what He cares about. This, you see, this, there is the universal church of all believers, but where action takes place, where God does His work, where God is active, where God reveals Himself, where God empowers us in the local body, small or large, this is where the action is. In the local body. The members, the people of that local body that belong to Christ, His body, this is the instruction that He gives us. We are to put on the belt of truth. Does He care? Absolutely. Does He care about this church? Does He care? Absolutely, He cares. This is His heart. It's in the local body. We are His bride. He cares. He loves. He shed His blood for us to be His body, to respond, to put on the belt of truth. So the enemy comes. We're on the battlefield. He comes. Even if we're not on the battlefield, He comes. Will I be free to use my sword? Is my shield of faith going to be hung up on these extraneous things? Can I even defend myself, much less my brother? Can I take my place? Can I take my place to do what God has called me to do? Well, I better put on my armor. I better be honest. I better be honest about myself with an honest assessment and respond. So I've thrown so much at you this morning just with this one little element of the belt of truth. How many things have I thrown at you? The family, the church, the government, everything. But the Holy Spirit narrows that down for you, doesn't He? Doesn't He give you one area you can respond in? Now, we're going to go into these different spheres, and we'll talk about them. What is our responsibility in these different spheres, whether it's the home, the church, the world. But your heart has to be willing. The very first questions I gave you, that goes back, they're on your outline. It goes back to, it's so foundational to spiritual battle. So you may not feel like this is spiritual battle. You know what I'm saying? It may not be emotional to you. It may not be overwhelming to you. But this is these are the things that Satan attacks. All those questions that I read to you are some of the very things that Satan goes after. Well, you already believe the Bible is God's Word. Okay, well, then he goes to the next level. Well, do you believe that everything it says is true? Well, you do. Well, let's go to the next level. But are you willing to submit all of your thoughts and opinions on every subject to what it says? Well, let's go to the next level. Are you really willing to do what it says, even if you don't want to? Are you willing to be given the desire for His cause and purpose in the world? So, those are the first elements to deal with and surrender and submit to. And then, the Holy Spirit, you see, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Even in the very presentation of this, it's acknowledging there's this huge gap. Huge gap. I cannot fill that gap. I cannot point to you and say, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to obey. This is the first step you need to take. But the Holy Spirit will do that. He will do that. Do you want to be effective in this battle, in this life? You've got to put your gear on. Start somewhere. The belt of truth is a good place to start. Do what God says. Respond to where He has instructed to you. So, this morning as we take communion, thank you, Keith. You know, I know what communion is. We know. It is to remember. It is, you know, the early church, the death of Jesus, it just happened. How are they going to forget? It just happened. Well, still, they stopped. They know, they knew how we are. You, this is how we forget. Things that we were once obedient in, we're not obedient in anymore. So let's take this moment. Let's remember that we have been set free. We have been set free from Satan, sin, and death. We have been called to follow Jesus. And we've been prepared. We don't have to do that in our own strength. Because He's paid for our sin, and He's given us the Holy Spirit to live in us. So let's remember that, and let's answer those questions that I asked you. Let's answer those questions through the affirmative. You know, maybe if I was asking you to stand up and talk about these things, you'd have a tendency to be dishonest, but at least be honest, transparent with God. God, what do you need to do to put on the belt of truth? If we have them here, we're passing them out. You already have them. Put them on. Put on the belt of truth. Let's at least tie up the loose ends, the sin that so easily entangles, the distractions, the taking up the cause of Christ instead of your... So, the cause of Christ instead of your cause. So let's just get quiet for communion and remember that He purchased us, the church. The church. And He's called us to something. Maybe, Stacy, why don't we do a song first? And then that way we have a minute. We can prepare our hearts, our minds for communion. And you think